Again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History's syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com, so check it out, but first sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Wyatt Earp in Portland. This story was first published on September 27th, 2009, under headline Why Legendary Old West Lawman Virgil Earp is Buried in Oregon. Here we go. Portland's Riverview Cemetery is the state's oldest nonprofit cemetery, dating back to 1882. It's full of stones with names on them that will be familiar to any local resident. Corbett, Weinhardt, Ladd, legendary suffragist Abigail Scott Duniway, and her brother Harvey Scott, the fiercely anti-suffrage editor of the Portland Oregonian. They're both also buried here. Oh, and then there's Virgil Earp. Earp, of course, is the brother of Wyatt Earp, the other of the two marshals who famously cleaned up Tombstone, Arizona in the Battle of the OK Corral. So what is Virgil Earp doing buried in Portland, a city he'd been in, so far as we know, only once in his life? That's what Oregon pop historian Ralph Friedman wanted to know after he learned of the lawman's presence here. Here's what he learned from his research. Virgil, born in 1843, got married to a woman named Ellen when he was very young. Still, the couple had time to produce just one child, a girl, Nellie Jane, before the Civil War broke out and Earp went off to fight in the Union Army. During the war, Earp was shot and wounded. A report came back to Ellen that he was dead. Considering herself a widow, she remarried and moved to Oregon in 1864. Well, when Earp was discharged from the army the following year, he found the burden of his domestic obligations had been lifted, so to speak. So he went west and became, with his brother, a legend of frontier peacekeeping. Exciting and rewarding as it was, the position of a Wild West frontier cop is not a job that a fella can expect to retire in. Earp himself made it about 15 years before he was forced into retirement by gunfire. In his role as Tombstone's town marshal, Earp caught a bullet in his leg in 1881 at the OK Corral, and the following year he was ambushed by outlaws as he walked past a lighted window. This last incident ended his career in law enforcement as two loads of buckshot tore into him, one ripping a hole in his side and the other permanently ruining one of his arms. Earp went to convalesce in California. He later moved back to Arizona, and it was there in Prescott that his daughter, Nellie Jane, found him. They started writing to each other frequently. He'd remarried to a woman named Allie Stevenson, whom he apparently had met in California, but she doesn't come much into the Portland story. Portland, by the way, is where his daughter was living when she contacted him. Then in 1899, one of Nellie Jane's daughters came down with pneumonia. That would have been one of Earp's granddaughters. And Earp came out to be at her bedside. He was there for 2 weeks, making a big impression on his grandson, George Law, whom historian Friedman actually tracked down and interviewed in 1976 when he was 90 years old. Quote, "A powerful big man," Law told Friedman. "He wasn't fat, he was broad-shouldered. His right arm hung like a rag." 6 years after that, Earp died at the age of 62 while pursuing a gold mining opportunity with Wyatt in Goldfield, Nevada. Allie, Virgil's widow, sent a telegram to Nellie Jane. If she, Virgil's only child, wanted his body, she'd have to come and get it because his brother Wyatt was claiming it. Nellie Jane's son-in-law, Alex Bertrand, immediately went to Nevada and retrieved the casket. Which is why you will find Virgil Earp buried in the Bertrand family plot at Riverview Cemetery, in a city he'd never lived in and had only visited once. But the Oregon roots of his daughter and grandchildren were strong and deep. And the places Earl had lived, except maybe California, they hadn't been particularly kind. He had been shot at least 3 times, had been through the worst and most unrelentingly awful war in American history, and had died at a fairly young age. After such a wild and restless life, it's a real poetic justice that his bones are resting in a place where he's never had to shoot at anyone, surrounded by family and friends. After all, it's that kind of peace that a good lawman like Virgil Earp fights to bring about. A quick note, After this article was written, Randall Fletcher, a local historian, published a book titled Hidden History of Civil War Oregon, which deals extensively with Virgil Earp's legacy in Oregon and adds some additional information that's not in this article. I recommend the book. There's some other great Civil War stories in that book, too. I definitely recommend it. That's it for today's Offbeat Oregon History Podcast episode. What you've been listening to is an archive column from the newspaper service, and if you'd like more, there's a couple dozen more of these podcasts on iTunes. You can search the iTunes store for Oregon History, or you can go to offbeatoregon.com/iTunes, and it'll redirect you right there. You'll also find hundreds of columns on the website going back to 2008, most of them with pictures in text form. On the website, you can also subscribe to this podcast. It's free, of course, and that'll get it delivered straight to your smartphone every day. You'll also find links to Offbeat Oregon Facebook page and Twitter feeds, so you can join the conversation online. Our theme music is a track by the Atlas String Band called Old Man's Waltz, written by Carmen Ficarra. All these columns are covered under Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. See offbeatoregon.com/cc for details. Hey, are you coming to Corvallis anytime soon? If you are, drop me a line and let's just grab a cup of coffee or a pint. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, and I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. Finally, my book has just come out about the naughty bits of 1890s Portland. It's titled Wicked Portland. It's from the Wicked Press. Check it out. If you like these columns, you'll probably like the book. You can pull it up really easily doing a search on Amazon, and it'll let you look inside. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.